You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
So, over the last year, we've experienced chaos. Would anybody agree with that? Online campus, would you agree? It's been chaotic over the last year. Whether it's COVID or the snowpocalypse that swept through here a few weeks ago. And we had over 130 cars piled up right outside of your church, and not one member of Mercy Culture was affected. Can somebody give God glory for that? That is called the supernatural. And we're praying for all the families that were affected, because God is going to meet you right where you are. But I want you to know that in the midst of the chaos, I had this vision during worship. And it was the vision of an eagle that found the storm and went right into the middle of it and began to hover and rest. And God said to me, Mondo, this is Mercy Culture Church. It's a safe haven. It's a place where people can come and find rest in the middle of the storm. I looked up the word chaos, and it literally, in the definition, refers to the time in which the earth was formless and void. And how many know that in the middle of the chaos, God said, let there be, and things changed immediately. And I believe that he's positioning Mercy Culture Church right now, those of you watching online, to be in a place when God says, let there be, you're going to speak life and bring life into every situation that you walk into, and you're going to be the light that the world is looking for. Anybody agree with that today? You agree with that, Mercy Culture? So, Father, we thank you right now for this time. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. Father, we give you the room. This is your house. So, Father, open every heart to hear from you today. Open every ear to receive the words that you would speak as a loving Father whispering in our ears, whispering in our hearts. And, Father, we thank you right now in advance for all that you're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all of his children said, amen. I want to read this poem to you called The Weaving, written by Corey Ten Boom, that I believe beautifully depicts an accurate representation of what we're experiencing in the middle of the chaos right now. The Weaving. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors he worketh steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. I believe this is a beautiful depiction of God in his grace and mercy, pouring out his favor, pouring out his grace, pouring out his mercy, pouring out his goodness in the middle of a storm. And over the last 12 months, we've experienced hit after hit. Whether it's social unrest, political unrest, whether it's pandemic, whether it's ice storm, busted pipes, a lack of food or water. And God is saying, watch and keep your eyes on me. Because even though you can't see me in the natural, I'm moving in the spirit realm. And I have you, my church, my children in the palm of my hand. And I'm not going to let you go. Anybody believe that today? So my question is this, are you ready to start trusting him with your life? If you are, let me hear you say yes. Are you ready to trust him when it doesn't make sense? Let me hear you say yes. Are you ready to trust him when the walls of your heart are broken down and you can't understand what's happening? Let me hear you say yes. Are you ready to trust him when it looks like our city is in shambles and our nation is struggling despite what's happening? Are you ready to trust him? Let me hear you say yes. Nehemiah is a leader in the Bible who, in the midst of chaos, and struggle and pain and bad news and chaos looked at the situation and said yes to the Lord. And the Lord did a mighty miracle through this one man's life who was an ordinary person just like you and I, but he chose to say yes. So today, I want to make a correlation coming out of the books of Nehemiah, chapters 1-7. I encourage you to read it. I'm going to make a few references, and I'm going to give you the backdrop to the story. And there's going to be a moment during this service where God's going to speak to you. And I believe that God's going to show you something regarding your part in his plan. My question is, are you willing to say yes before he speaks? If you are, let me see your hand. Wave it at me, barrel big. They're online, wave it at me. Yep, okay. So we as the church have a beautiful correlation of something that took place during the time that Nehemiah was alive. Now imagine Nehemiah in his position. He was deemed as a cupbearer to the king. Now, as you read the job description of a cupbearer, there's something very important to understand. There were many responsibilities of a cupbearer. This was an astute member within the kingdom. And at the point of coming to a meal, he had to recognize that if there was a cup of wine, he was responsible to take the wine, assess it, and even drink it to ensure that it wasn't poisoned so it would not kill the king. As he read through the job description, this is a declaration saying, I'm willing to give my life for the king's cause. So he's going about his daily work and his daily business. And then he gets news from his brother. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open up to Nehemiah chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse 2, and you can pull that up in your notes. If you didn't get it, you can text notes to the number, and you'll get those notes. But I'm going to read this because he's doing his job just like you and I, and he gets this news from his brother Hanani. And he says, one of my brothers came with certain men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. In verse 3, and they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed. Somebody say destroyed. Destroyed by fire. What do you do when you get bad news and you find out that you're not going to have water because the entire state of Texas is frozen? What do you do when you and your child are in the house and you get the call from a friend saying, are you guys okay? And in the middle of the call, your power goes out. What do you do when you're shivering in front of your fireplace about to run out of firewood and you don't know what is going to happen next? What do you do when you find out that someone in your family has gotten COVID and they passed away? What do you do when you figure out that our nation is in trouble and it's being destroyed? One brick at a time. Nehemiah prays. That's what we do. Verse 4. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down. He sat down. He stopped the busyness. He stopped working. He silenced himself. And he wept. He wept. He wept like many of us have wept. Yeah, so in our family, we got a phone call and we lost a family member to COVID. We realized our pipes were frozen and we had to make adjustments. We wept. And then he mourned for days. And this is Nehemiah talking. He said, and I continued fasting and praying. Somebody say fasting and praying. Before the God of heaven. And as he spends time in prayer, and as he spends time mourning, as he spends time weeping, fasting, praying, seeking the Lord, weeping, fasting, praying, seeking the Lord, just like Mercy Culture has done, just like you have done, just like you've done online, it comes to a point after 4 months. Sometimes the answer doesn't come as quickly as we want it. But how many know that God, even though he may not be what you think in regard to your situation, he's always on time. He is always on time. So after 4 months of carrying this burden, Nehemiah can no longer hold it in. He's leaking. He's wearing his emotions on his sleeve, even though he doesn't want to. And this is life or death, because if he approached the king out of order, he could have been annihilated. So one day, doing his job, the king finally notices and says, "Nehemiah, why are you so sad?" And he said, "I lost my father. He died. Many of my family members have been attacked. The walls of Jerusalem have been torn down and it's been destroyed. My people are in anguish. Would you grant me an opportunity to respond?" And here's what the king says. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. "Then the king said to me, 'What are you requesting?' So I prayed to the God of heaven." And Nehemiah says this in verse 5. "And I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it.'" And that's the title of this message today. It is time to rebuild. Is there anybody ready? So here's what we're going to do. When I say it is time to, you're going to say rebuild. It is time to
rebuild.
It is time to
rebuild.
Online. It is time to
rebuild.
It is time to
rebuild.
Come on, say it like you mean it. It is time to
rebuild.
Come on, church. It is time to
rebuild.
It is time to
rebuild.
That's what's going to happen. God's going to show it to us. And he's the one that's going to do the rebuilding. So don't worry. It's not about being a human doing, because we are human beings. And all we have to do is be in his presence, and he's going to do the rebuilding. Amen to that, church. Y'all ready to rebuild? So like I said before, many of us have been affected in many ways. A lot of our hearts are broken. We think about what's happened over the course of time over our nation. Racial tension, bombs of racial tension coming from the adversary. Last week, I got a phone call from one of our leaders at Gateway, and he said, "Pastor, you're not gonna believe what happened. I was coming home, and there was a city worker in my yard who said, 'Hey, I'm so sorry, is this your home?' He said, 'Yes, sir, it is.' He said, 'Can you come in the backyard?' And he was like, 'What's going on?' He said, 'I'm sorry, just come and see it.' And in the midst of the racial climate, he goes to his backyard, anxious and worried about what's gonna happen. And the city worker points to his fence. And as he points, he sees in graffiti the N-word in his own yard in 2021. So what do you do when you're going to your house in your neighborhood with your neighbors and God throws a bomb to throw down your walls and bring racism to your house? What do you do when as soon as you get that news, you realize that, oh, we're in the middle of a re-election? It's been 4 years that fast. Huh. What are we going to do? We're going to vote biblical standards. But oh my goodness, I was going for the red and now the Democrats are in office. Ah! What do you do when every time you look up, you get bad news when you're going about your day? And you realize, well, that's who I prayed for, but they're not in office. That's another break to the wall of my heart. To the wall of my community and my nation. And just when I thought I could reach up and catch my breath, I get a phone call because somebody in my family has COVID. And now I've been praying and asking God, but I couldn't dodge that bomb that's trying to destroy my family. And then I look up and I think, it's okay. It's all over. And then I get news that there's more social and racial unrest. What do you do when the walls of your family are being broken down from the adversary. How do you respond when what you've been praying for hasn't come to pass yet? Do you still see God in the middle of it all? Or do you throw up your hands and walk away? See, the city of Jerusalem was in a place where the walls were built to house the presence of God. And due to an unruly nation stepping out into idolatry and sexual immorality and greed and lust, it became susceptible to the attack of the enemy, and the walls came crashing down. But how many know all it takes is one? All it takes is one mercy culture to stand and say, God, I don't care how the walls fall. I don't care what attack comes. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to choose to trust you. I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to mourn, but then I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you my marriage. I'm going to give you my children. I'm going to give you my nation. I'm going to give you my city. I'm going to give you everything, God. And in the midst of the chaos, when it's formless and void, I know you're going to speak and say, let there be. My question is, church, will you say yes? Will you say yes, church?
Yes.
It is time to.
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 Yes.
That's right. It's time to rebuild. And when we seek God first, your disappointment turns into a divine appointment. But we have to open our eyes so we don't miss it. So in the midst of all the bad news, my question is, who would like to hear some good news? So wave your hands if you want to hear some good news. They're online, wave your hands. Here's some good news. God is not aloof, sitting on the throne with his nose turned up in the air, watching us as little peasants. He is close and intentional, meeting you right where you are in this room, right where you are watching online. And he saw the depth of our pain and our need for a savior. So he sent himself in the form of a man by the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ lived the life that we should have lived. And he died the death we deserved to die. And after being broken down, the Father in heaven rebuilt him. And on the third day, he rose from the grave, proving that he is the Son of God, giving us the gift of eternal salvation, forgiveness of sins, healing, and hope in the midst of our turmoil. That is good news, church. Amen. When we focus our attention on the good news, we recognize this. We can't change the past or control the future, but we can enjoy the gift of the present. So point number one is this, if you're taking notes, God is going to rebuild us individually. Somebody say individually. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 20, it says this, then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. It is time to.
Rebuild.
It is time to.
Rebuild.
One of the leadership standards here at Mercy Culture, as we look at the theme of this year, the supernatural, is supernatural growth in you. I want you to turn to your neighbor to the left and right and say, God is going to rebuild you supernaturally. Yes. He's going to do it in the midst of our pain. So Nehemiah is sent by the king because he said yes. And when he shows up, he's given provision for the vision. He's given people, resources, and everything needed to begin to rebuild the wall so that the presence of God can be housed. And as he comes to that place, he recognizes that we need to be strengthened. So God strengthens Nehemiah and the team that was assembled with him. He found himself in a position to do something supernatural because he said yes to God. And there were 12 gates and this massive wall. Somebody in the back said, please, Nehemiah, can you not assign me to the dung gate? I don't want to go to the dung. I don't want that one. So as he's delegating to the team, he is addressing the dignity of God by saying, for those who will drive by or ride by and look at this city and say, what kind of God would live in a broken down city like that? We're going to show them the God of the universe. And we're going to show him off to every person that we come in contact with, because he is a faithful God. So as I go to our second point in this message, I'm going to ask for some help from a few of our leaders. I'm going to ask my wife, Lisa Davis, to come on up. Can y'all just give it up for Lisa? All right. I'm going to ask this Madison Martinez and her amazing husband, Matthew Martinez, to come on up. Can we give it up for them? Faithful leaders at Gateway Church, and so honored to have them. Point number two, if you're taking notes, is that God is going to rebuild the church collectively. Point number one, he's going to rebuild us individually. Point number two, he's going to rebuild the church collectively. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together. Someone say together. Unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. As we think about what God is doing right here now at Mercy Culture, with this being the year of supernatural, point number one, him rebuilding us individually is an edification of God strengthening us in the midst of our pain. And then point number two, the supernatural growth that's going to happen here is a symbol of unity. This is a leadership standard that there will be unity within the four walls collectively of the church. And we have to look past our differences to find our unity. And if you look at any and every great revival throughout history, they were all squelched as a result of offense that took place from within. So my question to you is, are you going to be a unifier or a divider? If you want to be a unifier, say this after me. I'm a unifier. God is rebuilding me individually. They're online. Say it with me. God is rebuilding the church collectively. And that is a leadership standard here at Mercy Culture. It's a leadership standard. And God's going to do it supernaturally. But how many know that when you're in the middle of doing something to build the kingdom of God and partnering with him to be his hands and feet, opposition will come? So Nehemiah is standing there and they're building the wall. And as they're building the wall, opposition, distractions begin to come. And Nehemiah sets people in place with swords. So as the enemy comes, he's ready. And then he begins to fight. With the sword. Come on, you gotta like fall over and die now. Rah. Y'all give it up for my son Mondo. Opposition will come, but how many know that when it comes, it doesn't matter, because just like Jesus did in the middle of the wilderness, in his weakest point, he took the sword. And he raised his sword. And as the enemy came and attacked, he said, it is written. And he annihilated the enemy. So as the enemy tries to come at you, whether it's doubt, depression, fear, pornography, idolatry, I want you to take the word of God. Hold up your sword right now, Mercy Culture. If it's on your phone, your iPad, wherever it is, online, hold up your sword right now. And we need to be armed and ready. As God is building his church collectively and rebuilding what was broken, we have to stand on guard over our families. We have to stand at the front door, at the gates of our homes. We have to be prepared with the word of God to say, devil, not today, not my family. The word says there will not be a hint of sexual immorality. The Lord says that he is going to cover us and keep us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We have to be able to have the word ready on our tongues so that as the enemy comes, we can feed the word and replace the lie with truth. Amen to that. Church, it is time to. It is time to. It is time to. So what is a picture of the church being collective and walking in unity? It's this. That's right. And this is what God is calling you to be a part of, Mercy Culture. Let's give it up for Lisa, Madison, and Matthew. So God is rebuilding us individually. He's rebuilding the church collectively. And point number three, he's rebuilding unity in the community. I'm gonna ask the worship team to go ahead and come on up. The walls of the city symbolize unity, which demands differences, which we love each other past. A good friend of mine said, we're not colorblind, we're color blessed because we love each other. Nehemiah demonstrated that love as he fought to end the oppression of God's people. He fought for equality. He fought for justice. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15. They got to a point after being strengthened and rebuilt individually and working collectively that God began to do something supernatural. The first supernatural indication took place in verse 15 where it says, so the wall was finished. Somebody say finished. Finished. On the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days, 12 gates and a massive wall to protect an entire city were rebuilt. And God did it because one man chose to say yes to the Lord. And as God strengthened him, others said yes to the Lord. And a miracle took place. And here's the miracle. Verse 16. Keep in mind, this is a nation in which there's sin running rampant. There's problems. There's degradation. There's everything that you can think of that does not represent the kingdom of God. And here's what happens in verse 16. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Come on. When you think about this, yes, we can praise God. And you want to know why? Because that's what he's doing in this house right now. And my question is, are you saying yes to the call? Are you saying yes and amen? God, send me. Online, are you saying yes? After all the nations began to recognize that a true king, a true God lived in this city, they fell on their faces and they began to honor what God was doing. And here's the beauty in this entire scenario that's unfolding. Supernatural evangelism took place. And unity within the community began to happen. See, sometimes we don't understand that in the midst of the darkness and the formless void and the chaos that God is still at work because we can't see it with our natural eyes. But if we look with our spiritual eyes and stay connected to the Lord and allow him to rebuild us individually and rebuild the church collectively, we'll see that he's going to use us to rebuild unity in the community. But we got to open our eyes to see it. Talk to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, open your eyes. Dear online, tell somebody, open your eyes. Because many times, it's hard to see at first glance, but God is holding all of us in the palm of his hand, and he has never taken his eyes off of us. So in closing, sometimes it's hard for us to see what God is doing in the middle of it all, but we must remember Romans 8:28, that all things will work together for our good and for his glory. He's at the helm of it all.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.